Good morning once again. This morning we will turn our attention to James, the first chapter of the book of James. This is where we will find ourselves. We'll give our attention to just one verse this morning as we consider religion. There are many religions in the world today. There are some who say that every religion is created the same. They're all pointing to the same place. They'll all end in the same destination. There's just different flavors, almost like choosing your ice cream flavor there at Pinkies, which I hear is going to be opening up soon. You know, you have this smorgasbord of selections there, and in your heart of hearts, you're like, I want a scoop of everything. But you have to make choices. And so there are some who say, well, all religions are like this ice cream. They're all ice cream. But one has, you know, a minty flavor, and one's a chocolate flavor, and one's vanilla, and one has a bunch of nuts stirred up in it, and that's fine too. But whatever the case may be, it all goes to the same destination. Interestingly, the people who often say that are not they themselves participants in most of those religions. In fact, they miss the irony that that claim itself happens to be a religious claim. And one religious claim that most all of those religions themselves reject openly. And so as you look about, you see different religions, and they have different practices and ceremonies and different heroes of the faith and different things that should be sought. There are some that are very ascetic and very deny yourself. There are others that are very enjoy the things of life and live life to the fullest and embrace it all and enjoy all that you can. And there are certainly ones that fall in between. But James today comes to and speaks to us about what true, right, and good religion is. And James wants us to realize that even within the identity of being Christian, even with the identity of claiming to follow Jesus Christ, there can be those that participate in bad and what he calls worthless religion. And in the face of that, James invites us to embrace true religion, godly religion, right religion. And to bring it home for us and make it personable, I want to ask, what kind of religion do we at Tremont Baptist Church want to be known for? What type of religion are we going to practice week in and week out, day in and day out, month in and month out? I pray, I long, I hope that we will practice the religion that James admonishes us to practice. To give you a little bit of context, James was himself the brother of Jesus. He did not at first think that Jesus was much to do during the life and his life and ministry. James was rather dismissive of Jesus' messianic claims. He thought he had maybe perhaps a little bit of a big head. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, he came to an understanding of who Jesus was. And he became, as it were, the senior pastor of First Baptist Church Jerusalem, if I can make it a little contemporary for us today. He was the senior pastor of the primary church there within the city of Jerusalem. He writes this letter, and his emphasis, his focus is on faith lived out in practice. That we are called to live a faith that's not just in word, but also in deed. In fact, just before this admonishment here in James 1:27 that we're going to look at in just a moment, just before it, he's talked about and called us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In other words, he says, don't just hear what Jesus says, don't just hear what God says, but put it into action, put it into practice in your life. Just after this passage we're going to look at is the passage that we looked at a couple weeks ago, where he says one of the implications of putting your faith into practice means that you will not show favoritism, and favoritism especially within the community, the gathered community of believers. And he gives us that picture of a rich man and a poor man coming into our setting. And he says, how will you treat those? How you treat those people, how you treat those different types of people that come into your community, reveal your heart toward God and reveal the faith that you have. And here in James 1:27, he calls us to true and right religion. Will you stand together as we read this passage? James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts to receive your word, implant it in our hearts, receive it with meekness today. Lord, I pray that you guide my tongue. May your spirit move it at the impulse of your desires, and may it speak true words that are helpful and good. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, we see three components of good religion that James admonishes us to. First of all, he says that good religion begins with a relationship with God. In fact, it's implied here that we would want to have a religion that is accepted as pure and faultless before God. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this. That we would even have that desire means that we ought to at first have a right relationship with the one true and living God. With a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is in contrast to the religions of the past and the religions of our own day. Religions of the past desired to, in some way, buy off or earn favor with some sort of stronger power or deity that was deemed to be out there. This is true of the pagan religions that Israel encountered in their time in the Promised Land. This is true of the pagan religions of the Romans or the Greeks. And this is true of most every religion today. That it desires to earn some type of favor or buy off or even control or manipulate some stronger power or force. Let's think back a little bit in history of the pagan deities that Israel encountered. You had Baal, who is the god of the storm, the god of rain, the god of thunder, the god of lightning. And Baal was the one you needed to appease in order to have rain in the right season so that your crops would grow. And in an agrarian society, that was life or death. So the crops would grow and they would produce and they would be plentiful. So the pagan says, we need to keep Baal happy because he's the one who controls when it rains and when it doesn't. And so Baal prescribes certain rituals and ceremonies and practices in order to keep him satisfied. We actually see this in practice in Scripture when Elijah encounters the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. There they are admonished by Baal to see who is the one true God. And there we see some of their religious ceremonies. They build an altar to offer a sacrifice on, but the setting was that they were not to light it. They were going to see if Baal himself, the god of lightning, could ignite his own sacrifice. And so they dance about, they cry out, they scream, they hoop, they holler. They begin later on in the day cutting themselves, hoping that Baal will see their afflictions and their willingness to do that. And they would hear and respond. And in fact, Elijah himself begins to get in on the ridicule and mockery and says, where's Baal? Maybe he's gone on a trip. Maybe you need to cry louder. Maybe you need to hoop and holler some more. And they begin to do so. And they think that by these religious rituals and practices, they can appease Baal. And if they can appease Baal, they can get the lightning they need at that moment or the rain in its seasons and those kinds of things. In other words, it's just a grand scheme to manipulate stronger forces, stronger powers to get the things you need for your own ends. Well, my friends, that is not the way of the one true God. Our Lord is not manipulated by our token ceremonies or services or sacrifices. In other words, you can't buy off God. You can't control God. You cannot manipulate God. But God does invite you into a relationship with Him. And He does it through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again. You see, We are separated from God, and you would think, oh, I need to get in right relationship, so I have to do something like these pagans do. But the good news comes that there's nothing we can do to buy God off. But He Himself has paid the price and has brought us back to Him. And He invites us into relationship with Him today. It's a radically different view of what the essence of religion is. And my friends, you need to know, it's not just the ancient pagans that practice that. Yes, it may be the ancient pagans that build the altars and do some of the things and peculiarities that they do. But you need to know that apart from Jesus Christ, every other religion in the world is simply trying to get some stronger power to do what they want. And to manipulate them and to make them happy, to make them satisfied. And to work circumstances out in their favor. My friends, Jesus invites you today into a relationship with the one true God, the living God, who loves us and cares about us, who's compassionate and kind and generous, who, as we talked about a moment ago, knows our needs before we ask, but yet invites us to ask so that our hearts are turned toward Him in dependence and reliance. And in that dependence and reliance, we're set in the right direction. We're set on the right path. And who trust Him with the needs that we have. My friends, true, good, right religion, as James sets it out for us, is a religion with the one true Father who loves us better than our own fathers do, who cares for us and is good. Secondly, we see about this religion, this good religion that James admonishes us to, is that it cares about, as Jesus puts it, the least of these among us. We see this, he says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. To care for those who are unable to care for themselves. Or as Jesus says, to care for the least of these. Now we need to put this in a little bit of context because in our day and age, we are blessed to live in a society in which there are some stopgap measures, largely based because of Christian influence on our government and our society and our state. There are systems in place to assist those who don't have financial means. Orphans and widows are not basically left to themselves or left to begging in our society by and large. And we are blessed because of that, and we should be thankful for those types of systems and programs that have been put in place to assist those who are needy. But we need to understand, those come from a Christian impulse. Those come from good and right religion. Those come from a heart like Jesus Christ that cares for the least of these. Jesus paints a picture that in the last days, at the end of time, everyone will be brought to account before God the judge. And He will separate everyone as a shepherd might separate sheep from goats, easily identifiable as different things, right? And He'll separate those sheep and goats, and He will say and reveal that the way in which you can see that distinction of who are the sheep and the followers of Jesus Christ and who are the goats who rejected Jesus Christ will be based on how they have cared for the least of these in our society. Turn to Matthew 25. I want you to see this in Scripture. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in all His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as shepherds separate sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you looked after Me. I was in prison, and you came and visited Me. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The King will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of Mine, you did for Me. And He goes on and He turns to the goats and they say, when did we see you and not do that? And He says, when you didn't care for Me, you didn't care for the poor and the sick and the afflicted or visit Me in prison, and you did not do it for Me. Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you failed to do for Me. Now, just make things clear. Jesus is not saying you can earn your salvation by giving to the poor and caring for the afflicted and visiting people in prison. You don't earn your salvation. That's the way of the pagans. You don't earn your salvation by doing things. But what Jesus says is someone who has true faith, genuine faith in Jesus Christ and is trusting in Him will be known by their fruits. And some of the fruits will be this true religious fruit of caring for the least of these among us. True, right, and good religion that is acceptable before the Father, James tells us, is the religion that cares for those in need, the weak, the the afflicted, those who do not care for, cannot care for themselves. In other words, true and right religion is moved by love and compassion and mercy. This makes sense, doesn't it? Because we serve a Father who is filled with love and compassion and mercy. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians that we can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but if we have not love, we're a sounding gong and a ringing cymbal. We can give our lives over to the flames, he says, as a martyr for Jesus Christ. But if we have not love, we have nothing. True, right, and good religion is moved by the same love with which the Father loved us. The same compassion that He's shown toward us. So true religion bridges the gospel to those around them. Yes, within those the brothers and sisterhood, the family of faith. But yes, even beyond its walls. One of the criticisms that is recorded in history, in the annals of history, by a Roman governor, is the criticism that if we don't stop these Christians, everybody will become a Christian because they care not just for their own poor and their own sick and their own needy, but also ours, the Roman governor criticizes. He's critical of Christians because they overflow with love. And he says, if they continue overflowing love in this way, man, everybody's going to become a Christian. We've got to stop them. How crazy is that? May we be known for that kind of religion that overflows with love on display and care and service for others around us. Third, James commends us to religion that engages with its community. He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphan and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, you may hear, keep oneself from being polluted by the world, and you may originally have the impulse of common religion. If we're going to be kept from being polluted by the world, we need to be distant from the world. We need to be separated and to sequester ourselves off from the world. We need to make sure we only are around those who are like us of our faith and who of our practice. And we don't want to be seen out in the unseemly places of the world associating with people like that. But the problem with that would be James's brother, Jesus, right? We know Jesus. And we know what Jesus did. Jesus did not call 12 apostles to go isolate themselves off in a commune up on a hill somewhere and to live holy lives and to pray holy prayers, sequestered off from the society. No. What did Jesus do? He lived and He walked among us. In fact, He was often criticized for being associated with sinners and tax collectors. He was said at one point, a leading religious official said, if Jesus knew what kind of person that was, He wouldn't let them even touch Him. The issue was Jesus knew exactly what kind of person that was. And He rejoiced to have that person washing His feet and wiping them with her hair. Because it showed a transformed heart and a love for Him that the man's house he was in was not showing himself. You see, when you hear James say to keep oneself from being polluted by the world, James is not telling us to isolate ourselves off. No, he's saying you're going to be in the world, but don't be of the world. Don't be overcome by the lies of this world, the deceit of this world, the worldly treasures that this world offers. Because if you are going to live as Jesus has called us to live, you are going to associate and be out in the community. You're going to be associated with people who are, gasp, sinners. And if you're honest, you'll remember that you yourself are too. And you yourself may be tempted into sin like them. And so James is warning you, when you are in the community, when you see someone who is making those sinful decisions, don't be drawn away and be polluted with them. In other words, live as Christ among the community. Don't be secluded. Don't be driven by fear. Don't be motivated by a fearful stance that says, if I'm out there with them, then something bad could happen to me. No, know that your Heavenly Father is stronger than powerful than all. He will care for you. He can guard you. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, what do we pray? Keep me from evil. Well, why do we pray that? Because the temptations are real and they're around us. May we be the people, as James calls us, to be in our community, to be associated with even the least of these, to be associated with those who are making wrong choices and are there to call them to Jesus Christ, to point them in love and compassion to the right path, to the God who loves us and cares for us. So I begin where I began. What type of religion do we want to be known for? What type of religion do you want to be known for? What type of religion will Tremont Baptist Church be known for? There are many religions today, and even various flavors among Christianity. But James invites us to true, good, and right religion. Religion that is based first and foremost off a relationship with Jesus Christ. And out of that relationship with Jesus Christ, cares for those around us and shows love and mercy and compassion to them. Yes, even those outside our walls, in our communities, that are caught in the deceit and the lies of the devil. And we don't look down on them in judgment. We come to them in love and compassion and point them to Jesus Christ. That's the type of religion that James invites us to. May that be the type of religion that you and that Tremont Baptist Church is known for. My friends, today I want to invite, if you do not have this relationship with Jesus Christ, your religion is, as James says verse 27 and verse 26, your religion is worthless. It is no good. It is of nothing. So today I want to invite you to religion, true religion, a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have not recognized your own sin and cast yourself in mercy upon Him, He died on the cross for you. He loves you and knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. He cares for you. Will you turn to Him today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Jesus Christ knows us, that He loves us, that He died for us in all our imperfections, and that He invites us to true relationship with You. Heavenly Father, may that relationship fill us and renew us as we live out the mission You have called us to live. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.